Check it out. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank number 30. Could that be right? Maybe. Today, we are going to discuss fatherhood. I invited one of my friends over, Mr. Al Madrigal, who I've probably known him for like 8 or 9 years, but as long as I've known him, he's been a dad. That's the only way I've ever known him. And he's one of the funniest comics in America. He really is. He works as hard or harder than any of the other comics I know at what he does. He's really amazing. Great storyteller and just a great comic. But yeah, so we got into it for a while. Parenthood in general is always something that I thought I would do, but in the last few years, it's only filled me with fear. Like, the idea of having a kid is just so frightening to me right now, because I'm so irresponsible that I cannot imagine having to raise one. Just the work alone and how much you can mess up. You can mess up a human's life. Ugh. Plus, it's just so much fucking work. I can't commit to a woman right now. The idea that I'm going to commit to a fucking child. Ugh. I just cannot imagine it. I don't know how people do it. I don't know if people have a baby and just be like, yeah, that'll be cool. I'll just raise this fucking kid. A plant is hard work. Anything but a cactus is difficult work. Whatever. Anyway, so that's what I'm going to discuss. I do have this coming Friday. This is out on Monday, the 6th or 7th. On Friday the 11th, I'm going to be headlining in Los Angeles at the Improv on Melrose Boulevard or Melrose Avenue, probably Boulevard, at 8 o'clock Friday night, November 11th. It's one of the few chances you'll get in Los Angeles to see me do like a longer set. Normally it's like 10, 15 minutes here. But yeah, I'm headlining there, so please come out. It should be a fun show. And I got nothing else to say about it. Oh, and I recorded a CD. I did my CD. Hopefully it comes out well. But so this is going to be the last time I'm going to do most of this material. I'm just going to like drop it after that. So yeah, come out and see me tell my horrible sex stories and stories of, you know, human failure. One last time, November 11th at the Improv. Go to improv.com or go to my website, arishaffir.com, and there's a link there for all the tickets for junk. So that's it, everybody. That's announcement-wise. By the way, if you have any sort of tips for me, I'm new to the technology part of this, so if the sound is really bad, let me know. Totally let me know. Send me a message on Twitter, at arishaffir. Or at my website, you can send it to contact@arishaffir.com, and I read them. I probably won't write them back because I'm lazy and stuff, but I might write back, who knows, but I probably won't. On Twitter, once in a while, I do. But yeah, I'd like to hear about it. I could fix, you know, whatever I can fix. I'm happy to try, and if I can't, then we all fail together. So that's it, everyone. Please sit back, relax, and enjoy Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank number 30, the horrors of fatherhood. Al Madrigal. I got the chronic by the tree. I love it when you call me Big Papa. Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player. I love it when you call me Big Papa. To the honeys getting money, playing niggas like dummies. I love it when you call me Big Papa. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Al Madrigal.
Yes.
How are you, Ali?
It's raining outside, and
yeah,
it's really actually coming down. This is do this on Friday. Do you tell everybody what day it's being done? You don't
Mondays.
Really
no, I don't care. I do it.
Shoot, you're recording on Friday, and then it comes out on Monday.
I guess.
But, and we're in my, I turned this detached garage that I have into a little sort of office.
It's cool, man.
Hangout. Got a 1942, you ever play that thing?
Oh, I used to love that.
It was a nice...
They had a flat one at this Jerry's Pizza.
Mine was at Bud's Ice Cream in San Francisco.
Really?
Yeah, that's why, I mean, I picked that up off eBay for $300. They, I mean, maybe I've had that thing
How
for
did
about
I not
10 years.
That right away. Yeah, that was my game when I was little.
Oh, really?
That was the one.
That was my game when I was
really?
Little. I played that and a Joust. I was really into Joust.
I played Joust like four times, but I was never good.
You know how you had the games that you just went to, you decided, I'm going to stick with this one, mm-hmm. and I'm going to be good at this yeah. one. I was 1942.
You just keep doing new levels yeah, and stuff.
1942, and I would just pump money into this thing. And I have an air hockey table back there behind you.
Do you ever
the kids play
entertain it. Here, or that's just them?
The kids sort of built forts in here, and then, you know, I needed a place to stick all my comedy crap.
And your Jewish artwork?
Yeah, exactly.
Who was that? Definitely. Wait, let's see if I remember his name. Mark something?
Chagall.
Mark good. Chagall. Yeah. There you go.
There you go. I think I've been toting that thing around.
Kevin would laugh at me. They were like, why did it take you that long, idiot?
But then, you know, all the stuff that you get. So I turned this into an office. You know, I've got the kids. And we it's a pretty small place in yeah. the Eagle Rock. And
you must need this to get out of there.
Yeah, I come in here and take sneak naps sometimes.
Do you smoke in here?
No, I'm done.
You're done?
Yeah, I'm out. I'm done.
Forever?
I think so.
Why?
Because of that. I went and got that pot card.
Yeah.
And remember I had that piece of pot cake yeah. or whatever at the...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, not good. I didn't like it.
So don't have that cake again.
It was too intense.
All right, so have less. Or...
I just think, I mean...
Okay,
I'm just
so you're done with all pot forever?
No, I just might take a nice, solid break. Yeah, I'm really good buddies with Burr, and he does this thing with 100 days off booze. You know, I'm just like...
He took a year off.
I like a nice break every now and then. Yeah. I was doing that before...
I don't get high much anymore because I smoke so much.
Yeah.
I don't get like obliterated. Or if I do, it lasts for like 20 minutes. And then
see,
I'm like,
it's
smoke
never,
pot again?
I don't know why I've given it such a chance. I'm not sure if anybody agrees with this or has had this experience, but it's never really agreed with me.
Pot?
Yeah.
You used to smoke all the time.
And I know, but I was never
And
good
you didn't
at,
like it?
I really, I
You
did.
Would be like, hey, who's got pot? Who's got pot? I want some pot. Who's
yeah.
got some?
And then.
It wasn't like you were peer pressured into it.
Yeah. No, since I was 18, I really enjoyed it.
Oh, you did really enjoy
and
it.
And then at some point, I think with the kids.
Yeah.
Is like and more responsibility.
That's what I want to talk to you about anyway.
Yeah. So it's a good segue into that. Yeah. With more responsibility, I got other stuff to do. And that's how you sort of, I think when people say they're paranoid yeah. and they have panic attacks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's because they probably know they should be concentrating on other stuff. You know, like you have
yeah.
obligations.
I try not to get high, but like if I have to go to the bank and the post office. Or like mail like a
but you don't I mean in terms of
check,
like
I gotta get that done then I can smoke
a single guy you don't have that many obligations
no.
You have no
once
obligations.
Every few weeks I have to do something in the morning
because remember
what,
I called you at noon what maybe about 4 years ago I called you at noon
yeah
or I called you at 9
oh yeah
or you 10
you can't do that
and then you go dude you can't
what the fuck are you doing
you can't call me yet yeah
I used to have a rule that I wouldn't return anyone's phone call if the machine said 11:59 or before. I'm like, I'm just ignoring that.
So then I would have my son
call me over and over again.
Messages.
Honk, Ollie. Clemento. I think I called you like midnight one night. Like, I called you a pussy
yeah,
for going
that?
To sleep so early.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm
like, great.
Out. Yeah, so that's the thing. It's your whole life sort of changes. But, you know, it really suits me. I mean, in terms of my personality, like, I really like,
what?
I mean, the whole family life. You know, I have barbecues over here and... I have
with the kids and
nice chest full of neighbors and so, that whole thing. Like,
uh-huh. You like this life? This normal, like I have a house. I'm a father and just
oh, yeah.
regular.
I'm bad at going
this is
out.
Suburbs.
We yeah, I live in Eagle Rock, which is not that far.
No, it's not far
I mean,
away.
Technically, I'm still in L.A.
But this is a residential neighborhood.
Oh yeah,
you have houses a mile to the left or right.
Pull up and park right in front of my house.
Uh-huh. That's pretty nice.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You just get out.
Yeah,
and just like oh, I'm here.
Yep, and
you don't
I really
have that
do
in
like
Hollywood.
No, I had garage fridge, you know, that dad fridge.
This place is great. But, yeah, but Kevin's got all this junk too, right? But he doesn't have any kids.
Yeah. No, but he's a guy. Kevin Christie is retiring. He's a guy that's probably old man, lives an old man
yeah,
lifestyle.
Yeah, he does. How old are your kids now?
9 and 5.
Wow.
Yeah,
don't
because,
you get scared ever?
I mean, we met probably when, I mean.
You and I? You
Yeah, I'm talking about like they were 2 or 3 or my son was like that.
Barely. You didn't have the second one.
Yeah, I didn't even have the
Lorenzo
second one.
Lorenzo was like 1 or 2 something. Yeah, maybe yeah. 2.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess you've always
been
like
that. 2 was great
that.
And I came down here with kids. I think I might
Oh,
be,
9? Yeah, you already had him when you came down here, huh?
Yeah.
Oh,
I've been
wow.
down in L.A. I moved from San Francisco about 8 years ago. I'm just saying, it really does. It's a great balance for comedy because now I get to go on the road
yeah.
and I can go out. and then I come home. I really don't.
Wait, but you're saying like you can't go out at home?
No, I don't want to. I don't want to. I can't drive home drunk. I can't have a bunch of drinks. But if I'm going out with the people at the comedy club in D.C., let's say I'm going to the D.C. Improv. Yeah. I'm staying at a hotel in walking distance. I can go stay till closing.
Yeah.
And then I can walk home drunk and go to bed do shows in the morning. Nobody needs to know what time I came home or, you know, it really is a good balance.
Yeah, but don't you miss that when you're here?
No, I never knew it.
You know, you just never lived like that.
I never lived like that. I haven't gone out to like some club. People are like, are there hot? There's hot chicks in LA. I'm like, I have no idea.
Around, I guess.
I've seen them. I get auditions.
There are those weird clubs that only Chris D'Elia can get into.
Yeah, exactly. Voyeur. Yeah. Or something like that. I've never been to anything like that.
No. I've passed by clubs during a day sometimes. I'm like, oh, that's where this club is.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's what that's about. And you know what? The truth of the matter is, and that's what we're talking about, I hate it. When we're going to a club and you can't move around and then there's music pumping.
I used to do this Rogan all the time in Vegas and stuff. And I'm like, ugh. Until I eventually realized, like, oh, you guys go ahead. I'm just going to go to sleep.
I don't like this.
Yeah. I don't enjoy it.
Fighting to get a drink.
Yeah, pushing.
And then also,
someone's going to bump you and you got to be like, watch it, dude. And you're like, yo, what? You watch it. And you're like, what are we doing? It's tight enough. We're bumping everyone.
Chicks with attitude, like, I don't want anything from them. I haven't got my wedding ring on. Uh-huh. I don't want anything from these chicks. And then they're giving me the stink eye. But I don't know. I remember going, me and Sam Tripoli went. We did the Palms, because that's another thing is we do Vegas, and occasionally you do the Palms.
Vegas is great, just for that reason, because you're staying in the hotel that you're performing in.
Staying in the hotel that you're performing in. And then we went to the nightclub. They gave us passes to the nightclub. So you go to the nightclub.
I've gone up there.
Chicks.
It's just like, what am I going to say? Am I going to say something to these kids?
Yeah,
these girls?
Yeah, they're so young. I'm music's old, loud. And I'm creepy. You know, at this point.
You're not
like
that creepy.
No, I'm not creepy, but it looks like I'm creepy. You know, you turn into the old guy at the comedy club, at the nightclub, and I just don't want to be that guy. And I think some girls came up to us and they're like, hey, they're probably hookers.
Yeah.
And they started to try to like dance, you know, with us. And I was like,
what do you mean? Why do you think so?
Because they came up to us.
To low self-esteem.
Yeah.
Like, well,
any girl approaches me.
Were they
probably
wearing, like,
hookers.
Were they wearing like prom dresses?
They came up and they were trying to like do like grind up. And they're like, okay, that's
enough.
And
you had to tell them no.
No, thanks. All right. There you go. That's nice.
Thank you, but I'm fine here.
Imagine like Ray Romano saying, okay.
Did you ever hear him do the bit about ordering hotel porn? And it was broken, so he had to call down to get it fixed. But he goes, I have a voice that everyone knows.
Yeah, he can't.
So he's like, I'm high. Masses to face won't play. Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was fun to do the show, too. Thank you very much. But
so you can't just do you can't do this.
So you'll do it on occasion when you're out.
I'll go out to a bar. See, I like to go out, you know, it's a skee ball table.
Just like chill
that.
For
regular
a while.
Bar.
Yeah, have some drinks and talk.
Have some drinks.
And fucking get blessed.
Yeah, make fun of people.
Park somewhere.
And that's it.
That's actually the kind of drinking I love doing.
Yeah.
That's why I don't mind once in a while getting drunk at the comedy store. One, because I can stumble home. But also it's because, like, my friends are here. I'm just going to get drunk.
See,
and
that's the thing. With me in the comedy store, someone, you know, out in Hollywood doing stand-up, I can't drive drunk home.
Yeah.
So I got two drinks in me tops, and then I just get home. And so
if you mix that with pot, too, you're in more
danger. Oh, I'm such a lightweight when it comes to all this stuff. The other
really
thing
are.
Is, like,
you get so gone so fast.
Yeah. That was a taste of that when we were at the La Jolla Comedy Store. And I had a couple of drinks. It was me, you, and Ren Azizi, and we did the comedy store together. And then I had a couple of drinks.
Yeah.
And then I smoked some pot, and I was out. Out to the point where you decided it was going to be a good idea to slap me across the face just to see if you'd get away with it.
How hard did I slap you?
Really hard. Like as hard as...
You were so bonkers. I barely remember. Was that with you, Ren Azizi?
Yeah, it was me, you, and Ren Azizi.
I thought it was me, you, and Shane Matosh.
No.
It was a different weekend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Me, you, and
Steve.
And you just saw how out of it I was.
I wanted
and
to take
came
advantage.
Up to me and just whacked me right across the face. And I looked at you and was like, I'll get you back. You will pay. I probably just was lying
even
down.
As gone as you were still like,
yeah, you'll die. I will never forget. And I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Set an alarm.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You didn't just happen to wake up?
No. I set an alarm to before I went to bed. I was as drunk as I possibly, as I've ever been.
And you managed to set an alarm?
Set an alarm and then got a pitcher of ice water and tapped you on the shoulder and I go, hey. Uh-huh. Just loaded your sleeping bag with ice water. Just ruined it. Just
yeah.
ruined it.
And couldn't even go back to
and
sleep.
And then you looked at me. You're such a good sport. You just said, that was a good one.
Why would you do that?
I got payback. Remember?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember.
Next time you slap me across the face.
I was so like angry, but I was like, no, yeah, yeah.
But then I can go on the road and have those moments where, and that's a fun time, and then come back, and I don't go out because I know I got to wake up at 7:30 in the morning with these guys.
To work?
I take these kids to school. Whenever I'm here, I take these kids to school every single morning. Every parent does.
What did you do 10 years ago?
You don't even sleep in. 10 years ago, are you talking about pre-kids?
Yeah, pre-kids.
I guess we slept in. I mean, I don't even remember.
You've been with her for a long time?
Yeah, my wife I've been with for 12 years. You know, so, I mean, I don't even remember.
I guess you never really had an adolescence, right? Or like a 20 to 30?
I mean, 20 to 30, yeah, I slept in. I mean, I don't even remember anymore. I really feel like I don't. Yeah. This has been such a huge part of my existence. Because also, you want to do a good job. I mean, you can half-ass this parenting. And it's, I mean, the kids, you end up a little dicks.
Yeah. Well, one thing I say to people like, oh, you're a bad father, you're a bad mother or whatever. It's like, there's no bad or good. There's a million moments and you're not going to get them all right.
Sure.
And the more you fuck up, the more fucked up they'll be. But sure. You just try to limit it, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, we really are, I feel like we're getting pretty good at it.
Do you read books and junk?
My wife has her master's in education, is a reading and writing specialist, and she's a great parent. I mean, but still, you still fly off the handle. They push you to your limits, and you just have to just try to seem level-headed and in control the entire time.
Because you are, I wouldn't say a super angry guy.
I get a little feisty. I get fired up. I'm not going to let somebody walk all over me, and I certainly have opinions about things I'm not going to.
And you'll stand up for whatever it is.
Yeah.
You're a lot like Zorro. I think about it.
I'm the dad version of Zorro.
They get on your nerve? Don't they like, Dad, I want this. And you're like, no. And then you see him sneaking a cookie or something anyway. And you're like, what the fuck?
Well, you just have to put your foot down. They have to know that you mean business. And if that means, shutting off the TV and the stab, you have to set the precedent that you will not be fucked with.
Yeah.
And I think that's important for everybody all the time. You're not going to let people walk all over you,
and that's the way you stop them
somebody
from
in a store, whatever. Yeah. You just
stop from getting slapped in the face again.
Exactly. You got to pour a pitcher of water in somebody's bed and realize,
it wasn't just on my face. It was all over the bed. It was so wet and cold. Go ahead.
Ruined his sleeping bag. Yeah. But again, I mean, I am not somebody that they can take advantage of, that my wife can take advantage of, or anyway.
The kids?
It's in their nature to constantly test you. I think people test you all the time. People test your patience.
Yeah.
People test, how much can I get away with here?
Well, also, when you were like 19 or 20 or whatever it was, and you thought you knew everything about the world, and you couldn't understand, I'm just going through this now where I couldn't understand how comics wouldn't go up on any spot they could possibly get up on. Four people in the belly room, who cares? It's a spot.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, oh yeah, I get it. You've done lots of good spots. This is shitty.
This is
not for you.
This is not a good one.
Yeah.
I sort of stopped going even into Hollywood a lot.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a while. I was going to look to see if you were going to be near the store so we could do it there. And you're like, oh, you're not in the schedule at all.
Nope. I've just sort of stopped. Because we're doing these shows at the Ice House occasionally. Uh-huh. It's 3 minutes away from my house.
You just work out less?
I just work out less. I mean, see, in January, and I haven't announced this officially, but I guess people will hear it here on Monday, is that I'm starting on Daily Show full time. Sent me that nice text message.
That's really cool. Full time?
Full time.
So you can get a place in New York?
I'm going to have a place in New York.
They're getting you one?
No, they're not going to get me one. Okay. I have to get my own place in New York.
Oh, yeah, Comedy Central.
Sort of a break. Comedy Central, entry level.
Comedy Central. When they had my friend Kurt Metzger, do you know him?
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
He came out here to write for the roast. And he's like, hey, can I stay with you? I was like, yeah, but why aren't. What do you mean? They're not getting you a place? He's like, no.
That's Comedy Central.
That's
the thing. Yeah. I think I was talking to Rob Riggle, who's on the show. I mean, people know who Rob Riggle is. He was a Daily Show correspondent, but he was on Saturday Night Live for a little bit.
Oh, really?
And then he, Daily Show for, I think, 3 years.
Uh-huh.
And then, he's in movies now, and he's been on a lot of TV shows. He had to move in with his parents.
While he was on the Daily Show?
Yeah.
He moved in with his parents?
Yes.
Because he wasn't making enough money?
Yes.
What?
Yeah. That's what
I mean, I know it's New York, but how?
Yeah. Oh. Because basically,
any sort of benefit you get out of being on the Daily Show, you lose by living with your parents.
Though he wasn't doing stand up at the time, so hopefully I'm going to be able to make a little money doing stand up. And then I was lucky enough to be on this TV. You know, I got a little bit saved. So, but I mean, you see, this is we live.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do with your grown sperms?
I'm going to just have to commute and see him as much as I can. My son did not like this at all. It's not a season, it's a full year.
Oh, they just do it every night?
It's a Daily Show.
Oh, wow. I gave up my cable years ago.
Oh, that's right.
I just forgotten
No,
everything.
But it's, I mean, you work.
Oh, yeah, it's daily.
You work there on a regular basis. There's weeks off.
Wait, so you can move the family out?
I'm not going to move the family out. I'm going to move the family out for summer.
Are they shooting during the summer?
Yeah, we'll shoot during the summer.
And you move them out during the summer because she teaches?
She doesn't teach.
Oh,
luckily enough, she's off. She's not working.
Did you have to discuss this? Why aren't you going to move them out?
I am. I'm not going to move them out because I have kids in school and friends. I just don't want to kill it. I mean, if they had the choice, if my wife had the choice, first of all, she turns on the heater when it's 65 degrees.
Nice.
And, you know, it's raining. Everybody's got jackets. My kids came out in full jackets. Uh-huh. And, no one can handle the cold. They really can't.
It reminds me of Nanking Province.
We've been on West Coast this entire time. Oh, yeah. I'm born and raised.
I hate it. I can't stand that anymore either.
So
it was chilly in Edmonton, and I was bitching like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
People are like, it's not even freezing yet. I'm like, it's close at the latest part of night. It's very close.
I was walking in Boston. I was on that Mitch Hedberg tour, and this is years ago, too.
How's he doing these days?
Yeah, he's dead.
Oh. Yeah.
2004, 2005. I was walking down the street in Boston. And I had a beanie. My wife threatens me with stand-up comedy. She's like, I'll get 7 minutes together.
Yeah, it's like
the worst thing your wife can do. She knows it.
If comics do not want dating.
She goes, I'll have a development deal, and you'll see. All I need is 7 minutes. And she used to talk about what her material would be.
Yeah.
And one of her things is guys can't be cold. Because guys, because really? It's gay. Like, she thinks coops are gay.
Oh, you can't admit to being cold.
Yeah, like, oh, it's chilly in here. Give a sweater. Can you turn it up a bit? Yeah, it's just,
say
it's
like
gay.
That, I guess.
Can you turn it up a bit, please? Yeah. So I'm walking down the street. I see it's 32 degrees. Exactly, because you see it on a digital display on, like, a bank or something. And I pull out a beanie I got in my pocket, and I put it on. And at that moment, moment, I see a girl in a half shirt, and then I see a girl, because it's for Bostonians, it's nothing. And then I see another girl in a mini skirt. They're getting out, going to the ATM.
Yeah.
And a car dudes drives by, Bill Burr voice, you know, and goes, nice hat, faggot! And I think, oh, yeah, my wife's.
I guess it is gay.
Yeah, it is gay. It's really gay.
But it's free. Who cares how used to it you are? Your skin will die.
Dude, I'm not used to it. I grew up in San Francisco, like I said, moved down here.
It's cold in San Francisco.
Yeah, it's like 50.
Yeah.
70, between 50 and 70 on a regular basis.
You live like that.
Yeah,
it's hard. Freezing.
So, anyway, I mean, I'm just going to suck it up and try to commute as much as I can, and I'm going to get FaceTime for the kids.
Are you going to move them out after the summer or still not?
No.
You're just going to keep them here?
Just keep them here and just do it as long as I possibly can.
That seems weird to me.
I talked to Riggle today about it.
Yeah.
He did it for 3 years.
Yeah.
He commuted.
Did he offer you to move in with his parents?
His parents. See, he moved his family to Kansas City, and at least he was sort of halfway.
Why did he move his family to Kansas City?
That's where he's from.
Okay. So he has his
His wife and kids had to move in with his parents in Kansas City.
Okay.
Because he couldn't afford and his wife just didn't want to live
in New York.
In New York.
It's not really a family city, huh?
No, it's just... I
know
really,
there's families there, but it's not really... It doesn't seem like a family place.
And this is, you know, it's ridiculous because I'm on TV or whatever, but you're not making that much money enough to move everybody out in the first place.
Oh, right,
place.
Right.
I think I just have to leave everyone here.
It's great for notoriety, though.
It'll be good. And so...
You're being optimistically cautious.
Whatever,
man. Might jinx it.
It really will be great. There's no doubt about it. I'm very excited to do this. I'm just going to miss everybody.
What are you going to be doing? The same stuff everybody does? Like interviewing people and
pieces,
fake sketches and stuff?
Because I used to fire... You know, I used to fire people.
Really
like being incautious. I mean, it's really weird situations and making people uncomfortable and stuff like that.
Are you still going to do the Latino report? Whatever you were doing.
Well, maybe I was last one I did was senior political correspondent. They just change it depending on what I'm doing that particular moment.
Oh, but, right.
Anyway, are you ever going to do this? Are you going to have kids?
I don't think so, man.
Never.
I mean, I was thinking about it lately, and it was only 5 minutes, but I gave serious thought to a vasectomy. Where it's like, hold on, what are the pros and cons here?
You don't know if you're going to meet somebody.
No, I don't. But honestly, isn't at a certain point, aren't you like, why would I think I would want a kid later? I'm in my late 30s now.
It's not easy.
No, it seems like a fuckload of work.
Yeah. And Ren Azizi's having number two.
Yeah.
You think about all the guys that have kids, Maz and Ren Azizi and Oshak, that are all in our circle of friends.
That's your whole life,
store.
Though.
It's your whole life.
You hung on for a while. Ren Azizi's hanging on as hard as he can.
To but going like, out and stuff
yeah,
and
I,
mixing
like I don't
it
see
up.
You much anymore.
I did hang on for a while. I'm just getting tired, man. The Comedy Store is another thing. Like I have a set at the Improv tomorrow night.
Okay.
But I'm just going different places.
Right. And I do know, too, a lot of it's like you're older. You're just like, I'm just tired. And you're
I'm
also
tired.
Working on a lot of shit like this and stuff. So it's like I can get work done that's not just going up at night.
Yeah, I'm working my ass off during the day and I'm getting to be creative. It's like how long, like stand up. I'll go out and do stand-up and practice stand-up, but I'm also like, you know, I'd like to go out and get paid to do it. You know?
Yeah.
It's,
so it's annoying when you have to just like go do a spot.
But I got to admit, I'm a little disenfranchised with the state of, you know, the store and the state of the Laugh Factory. It's not just me, you know. I was going up at the Laugh Factory a lot.
Yeah.
I'm going up and they do.
What do you mean disenfranchised?
Well, it's just there's no, at least at the Comedy Store, there's some thought to the order.
Uh-huh.
At the Laugh Factory, it's like they throw names
just,
against
here
the
it
wall.
Is.
Yep.
So what do you mean?
Mark Maron following Tony Rock.
Uh-huh.
You know, and shit like that. It's like it's not a good good situation. That's
like these guys have styles
don't
that are so
fit
different.
Together at all, and how could you do that? It's just like they're not even paying attention to
it's
it.
It's workout spots in LA. It's like
it's a workout spot.
It sucks,
but I got the workout spot right here.
Oh yeah.
Every Friday.
Yeah. And you can also just try a new bit on the road when you're doing 6 shows in 4 days.
I really can. And so after a while, you've been doing stand-up, and we're about in the same length of time probably in terms of like
years.
13 years. Yeah, exactly. So at that point, you get so comfortable that you are trying new bits on the road and having fun no matter what, you know. I just did a college, did an hour at a college, and I hadn't done a set. I hadn't done an hour in a long time.
How rusty were you?
Not that rusty.
Not really, really.
Yeah.
Because like, it used to be like that, right? You
yeah.
used to like,
ooh,
not do anything
I got a
for
2 weeks,
an
hour.
Like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. My buddy,
you just get more proficient.
On the Daily Show, is with his girlfriend right now. They're driving to like his first big headlining thing where he's never put 50 minutes together. And he's nervous, but
yeah.
I'm not. You know, we've done enough sets where you're not nervous anymore.
Yeah.
I guess
we're like,
so,
I know how this is gonna go.
Yeah,
I realized this recently. Like, I stopped fearing going on after like a killer. I'm like, no, I'm really good.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
They'll listen to my jokes and they'll laugh like they always do.
That's what was good about San Francisco is early on I had to follow Mitch Hedberg, Dave Attell, Arch Barker, and Stahl until Lewis Black got there and they needed me to do. I ended up doing 90 minutes.
To Stahl?
To
90
Stahl.
Minutes? That's
yes.
so long.
And I was
when
new.
You were starting?
Yes.
How'd you do that?
I did some mixed crowd work in with my bits. Everybody was happy. I totally did it.
Yeah, I saw that
I framed
that
set list. Can you get up and read that set list? Look at who I had to follow there. And now think if I'm
this
nervous following
I thought I saw this. I thought I saw this. This is at the Improv Friday night, your show. The host was Mishnah Wolf. Then it was Jeff Ross for 15, Jim Gaffigan for 15, Joe Rogan for 15, Dave Attell 15, and then Al Madrigal. Such a great lineup.
And I framed it to remind myself of what we were talking about. It's like, I followed
Ross, Gaffigan, Rogan, and Attell.
And
Jesus
then me.
Christ.
And you know what was so great about that, which I always remember, is like,
when was this? How long ago?
That was a while ago. That was maybe 3 years ago.
Wow.
And then
did anybody know who you were?
That's the best part about it is because it was my headlining night. I didn't know that, and people were there to see me.
So they were still ready for
you.
And
it was great. I couldn't have gone better.
That's what I've always heard about like headliners. They're like, they can all follow anybody because the crowd's there for them.
Yeah.
So who cares what happens?
No, I remind myself of that all the time. Like, so when I'm walking up in a tough situation, I've been in
much
tougher
worse.
Spots.
Yeah, it makes it way easier once you're like, oh, I bombed horribly in front of people I care about. This is not a big deal.
Yeah.
This won't go as bad as that.
So I don't know. But for me, like driving into Hollywood every single night,
and I have
a wife
here. Do you miss your kids
here.
When you're there? Do you miss sick the family?
What are you talking about?
When you have to drive in for like a day or so? No, because you're just gone for the afternoon, for the night. When you go into a spot in Hollywood.
Oh, no, because I tuck everybody in.
Oh.
And then,
oh, that's right,
so I leave at 8:30 if
what
I have
time
9:30.
Do kids go to sleep?
8:30.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, what kind of existence is that?
They get up, they sleep for like 12.
For them.
They sleep for about 11 hours.
Really?
Yeah, they're growing and shit.
That sounds awesome.
They're exhausted. They play all day.
So, and then they wake up at 7:30.
7:30. And then they watch. They know how to work the DirecTV better than I do.
Have you ever wanted to, like, not that you would ever do it, but have you ever wanted to hit one of your kids, like to punch him in the face?
Not to
like,
punch
so
him in the face, but you do get really mad when they, yeah, they push you.
And they're probably annoying because they don't understand your reasoning.
They push you to the limits, or they do something like, especially with the
like,
two kids, a boy and a girl, they're bickering.
Yeah. Oh, they fight with each other.
Yeah. Just nonstop. We can't take it.
And it's all about definitely wanting to be right. They're just arguing with the kid, and they won't ever stop.
I mean, you could say, stop touching your sister, and you'd see a little finger come out.
Just slowly.
And go, poke, for one little last one. You're like, dude, I told you.
They're hoping you don't see, but I've got to fuck with my sister now. It's out of my control, man. We used to do this thing when I was little where if you touch somebody last, you just got to say, like, I got you last. But then we start singing it. And it was set to the YMCA song. So it'd be like, I got you last. I got you last. And then they would just drive the other person to a rage.
Why is they singing?
My mom would be like, just stop singing. Like, I'm just singing the YMCA song.
Singing
I don't see
the
what
YMCA,
the problem is.
That's exactly what they're doing.
Doesn't
all
that
the
piss
time.
You off when they think they're getting you, but you can see right through it because they're idiot kids?
I tell them all the time. I go, dude, I'm 40.
I see through your ruse.
I know everything. Stop it.
You must see through their little lies, right? And their games.
Yeah. I mean, but they are very, very funny. They're hilarious. They do a lot of funny stuff. My daughter, who's 5 years old, told me a knock knock joke, and then looked at me and said, with all seriousness, she goes, "You can use that." they're very, very funny. I mean, it's funny. I have a screensaver that's up on this digital projector, and it's like moments like this, like family vacations.
You don't have a pool here.
Sun is on your shoulders, you know, type of thing, doing those jumps off in the pool, you know.
And that's when you feel good about it?
No, it's the best.
Yeah.
Sitting with everybody at the beach, and you're having a sandwich, you know, then just, you know, look how exhausted they are there, but it's it really is fun. I brought them on a gig. Them to Florida, you know, that...
the Keys thing on the island? Marco?
No, we brought them to that at one point. But yeah, it's like subsidized vacation. I brought everybody there.
And
in
you
the summertime.
Leave
and there's water slide. And it had a fantastic time.
That's cool.
So anyway,
how many of those moments are there?
There's a lot.
Where you're like, wow, this
is constant.
I feel
my
great
son
right now.
Plays guitar in there. You saw the guitarist, and he plays the guitar. And I mean, she's adorable. So we have great moments. They're very, very funny. And, you know, take everybody out to dinner. The good times far outweigh the annoying shit. Yeah.
I heard there was a study that I always keep referencing, but it showed happiness in parents. Before childs and after children. Childs. And they said something like 90-something percent of them would never go back on it. And there was very little difference between single parents or joint parents and men and women. It was all pretty much the same. 90-something percent of them would not go back. But 80-something percent of them were less happy.
Really?
With kids and without kids. I think it's something like your sense of fulfillment goes way up, but your happiness itself goes down. It was like, you remember college? Did you go to college?
Yeah.
Do you remember how happy you were in college? I don't know if you were or not, but I loved it. But I wouldn't go back now.
Yeah,
like,
I
got
go
nothing
back.
To do there.
Yeah, exactly. I just sort of, I went to the wrong college. It's a different story. But I went to Cal Poly at San Luis Obispo where five guys to one girl because it was engineering, architectural, and agricultural school. I remember giving a speech like in a National Lampoon movie. I went to a party with all dudes.
Yeah.
And we invited girls.
And none of them came.
And I think I stood up on the coffee table and I said, gentlemen, tomorrow I'm transferring.
I gave this is stupid.
Yeah, I go, I'm out of here. I just gave a big speech.
Did you transfer?
Yeah, transferred. Oh, really? Right away, that next day. Went and filled out my paperwork.
Wow.
And I was done.
Because you're like, fuck this.
Yeah.
That's the one comic strip I remember from University of Maryland was this guy wrote, some nerds were like, where are all the girls in the engineering department?
Yeah.
And the guy was like, I invited her.
It really is true. So I went to that school. So I had just my miserable college experience. I was just out of
Does your sense of fulfillment, is it like way higher now as you're raising this kid, as he's learning shit?
Yeah.
Both of them?
They're great. They really are good kids. Me and my wife were talking about it the other day. Like, we got great kids, because that's another thing, is that we really do try. We're trying to be great parents. Constantly.
And you have to keep mindful of it?
Yeah. I mean, I say funny stuff, like, you know, we're driving and I say inappropriate shit all the time.
Yeah.
And stuff that I probably shouldn't be saying. And they're just, these kids are turning out very funny. I'm like, go make friends with the chunky kid. So he's like, okay, I'll do it. You shouldn't be saying that.
No.
Like, yeah, but
they're like, what do you mean? What's wrong with chunky? You're like,
yeah,
you'll learn.
Yeah,
there's
nothing
wrong with it.
Just go play with them, because no one else is. Yes, all right. So my son's really nice to other kids. And
but there's one, like, even just now I saw him when you were showing me this video, and you're like, oh, there might be some stuff. And they came in. They're like, there might be some stuff that they shouldn't see. So you stopped it. And he's like, oh, I want to see it. Let me press play. And you press play. And you're like, no, stop it. But you didn't lose your temper at all.
No, I'm not going to lose my temper over that. I got pretty good. I mean, and I get pretty fired up. Like, in the morning, you're talking about how feisty I get. It's like, if I have to say something three times,
yeah,
then I'm going to get pissed.
Right.
So if you have to repeat, I'm always nice the first time.
And they don't do that? They don't make you do that?
They push me to three times quite a bit, you know, and then that's when I raise my voice. And I tell them, I go, don't make me raise my voice. You're doing this right now. I'm telling you as nice as I can, and I'm being as nice as I can, go get your backpack and get in the car. And if I have to tell you again, I'm going to be loud.
You do that thing where you get overcome?
What's that?
You do that thing where you get overcome?
Oh, yeah. Like, scary calm.
This is the last time I'm going to tell you.
In a nice way. You know, you're just more scared.
Sound like Eastwood?
Yeah. That's what I'm scared for. Like, I've never been in a fight my entire life, and I'm half Mexican, half Sicilian.
Fist fight you've ever been on?
Never. Wow. Never. But I feel like I really do feel like I had the personality that if someone ever hurt anyone,
yeah, well,
I was going to
ask you
like
that too. What if somebody, like, was...
If I had a gun, just just bullets in the head.
Not like a kid on the playground who pushed him or something. What would you do in that situation?
Oh, yeah, I'd go. If a kid on the I've always told my son, in terms of fighting and stuff like that, come get me.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll find the parent and say, hey, what the fuck is going on? What are you doing here?
Yeah.
If that came up. But if somebody, I think somebody was picking on him in school.
Uh-huh.
I said, say no. Tell
say
him
no.
What?
No
to the kid.
Okay.
Then number two is go tell a teacher.
Okay.
If they hit you again.
Okay.
And then they hit you a third time, pop them as hard as you can.
That's your order.
That's one, two, three.
Because at some point, you do have to, it will become physical at some point. Like, in
no,
a regular,
and that's the whole thing, is like setting a precedent and that you're not going to be fucked with.
Yeah, but you don't just lead with fighting. Like, hey, calm down. If somebody bumps you, fucking walk away.
But doing that, I guess you're supposed to tell, because my wife, again, master's in education, very good at knowledgeable at what to say. You're supposed to give somebody an eye message. Ari, I don't like it when you slap me across the face when I'm
like
drunk.
Couples therapy.
Yeah.
Ari, I don't like it. I'm like, okay, yeah. Sounds serious. I won't do that
anymore. All right. And then, yeah, now, you say that.
When you pour water on my bed, it makes me unable to sleep, and I enjoy sleeping, so please don't do that anymore.
Yep. So you should give them an eye message, and then this is what we're telling the kids. You give them an eye message, and then go get somebody. You say, this kid hits you again. Then you're going to go get the teacher and say, I told him to stop. He didn't stop. This guy is being a dick, whatever it is. And then the guy punches you again.
Then you have to stand
now
up yourself.
You gave him two opportunities to stop, and he earned that.
Doesn't that mean, though, that you assume in that your son is going to hurt the other kid?
Yeah.
What if the other kid's way bigger and he's like, laughs it off like B.A. Baracus?
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I mean, he's going to make a choice at that point. I don't know how big the kid is. You know, I'm sure I've asked him that before, but he doesn't. Lorenzo is well liked, and he's a little smaller for his class.
Oh, okay.
All these parents did this thing where they start their kids later.
Why?
So they give them the advantage now.
When's your birthday? A more developed brain to get ahead?
Yeah, when's your birthday?
Oh, February 12th. I was right on the line.
You were
right
on the line.
If
so
I was
now
in December,
that
would be the next year.
Yeah, so now they're holding those kids back.
As best they can.
Yeah.
So they're dealing with a bigger brain. It used to be rush him in, get him two, three, get him into kindergarten, start it off.
No.
So you can get ahead and they can graduate at 19.
No, that's not happening. That is. Now they're doing the opposite. They're holding everybody back. So kids are driving when
they're...
they'll
be bigger and better at sports.
Yeah.
It's lame. It sucks. Just have the cutoff, December 31st. That's it.
My son is mid June.
Yeah.
So he's one of the youngest guys in his class.
Really?
Yeah. How was July? I'm July 4th, and
just to give them an unfair advantage, they would be smarter and stuff. Their brains are just a little bigger.
Yeah, it's 6 months when you are a little
six
kid
months
like
at
that.
Four is an eighth of your life.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah.
So anyway, a lot of kids are bigger, but he's well liked and he's good. He stands up for himself. He doesn't take any shit.
Compare a kid like that sort of tricks with kids. Like, here's what you need to do. Compare that to training a dog. Because it seems super similar to me.
It is very similar. I mean, I feel like that little dog that I have, you saw, is very well trained.
Yeah.
And he is, I mean, if I told him to sit down or anything like that, but it's just repetition.
Yeah, you took him to the crate, he's like, keep barking, you're going to go in there. And then he's like, all right,
hey,
loud
and
clear. And how about
stop?
I don't bark anymore?
Yeah.
And then I won't go to the crate.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's, I am being firm and repetition and training.
Repetition, so it's constantly keep instilling in these kids, like...
Manners, dude. I mean, dinner, napkin on your lap. Do you know how many times I fucking say napkin on your lap?
Do you know how many comics have zero manners?
Yeah.
It's disgusting eating with comedians sometimes.
Oh, it's horrible.
David Taylor eats hamburgers like with his hand up and just this juice drips down his arm off his elbow. It just drips.
That's not the best example to use, probably.
No, but every time I see him eating, I'm like, dude, you know, if my father came to town, there's no way. If he's like, hey, take your friends out. Well, I'm not inviting you.
No, I was raised with, you know, you want it, when you go in a restaurant, you want to... you know, you can't behave
be nice.
Like a savage. No, you got to know how to conduct yourself in nice places.
Mm-hmm.
And that if you do it in every place, then I don't know. I'm just trying to do the best job I possibly can. That's another thing. So it is a lot of responsibility.
Do you
but,
fear,
like, I said,
like, fucking up?
Yeah.
Because there must be some moments when you know, like, that was the wrong thing. I didn't handle that right.
Oh, yeah. I feel if I fly off the handle or anything like that or say something inappropriate. Let's say I have a road rage incident in the car. And I swear or anything like that. Yeah, I feel bad about it. How are we doing?
I'm fine. I didn't know what the thing was, but it's my button. So you feel bad about it, and then you're like, okay, yeah. Because you must have days where you're like cranky.
Sure. Everybody has bad days. Everybody has off
days. But you
just
can't take it on your kid. It's because they're going to remember that forever.
Yeah.
When you fuck up, probably starting at 9 and on.
Yeah.
And you... What the fuck? You're like, oh, great. That'll change the way I develop.
Me
now.
And a little boy have a great relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it really is good.
Seems like it.
We go on, you know, I love NFL football. We just went up to watch Niners versus Tampa Bay Bucks, where they beat the.
Good this year, the Niners.
Oh, I know. It's
the rest of the league's terrible.
I can't believe how shitty everybody is. Can you believe the Rams beat the Saints? Like, that's crazy to me. Like, last weekend,
the
Rams.
Is that the only win?
Yeah, it's their only win. And, I mean, I guess it happens a lot is every team is going to be surprised and not take
a team seriously.
Yeah, the Rams
like
suck.
Cowboys fans, I remember one year when I was in Israel, they lost, I think, to the Rams, who had like 3 wins or something like that. Like, what the fuck? We're supposed to be a Super Bowl team?
Yeah. We're going to lose. You're going to drop this game.
To a nobody?
So, anyway, so we watch football together, and he's just at this age right now where we're really hanging out. We'll take the dog on a walk around the block. Call a football walk. We bring that little football with us and toss it
to each other.
That's great. So I'm just saying there's moments like that that you have. You know, they're going to be out of the house in no time. Look how quickly these 8 years have gone.
I just felt bad for my parents recently. I was like, oh, you guys are alone in that house.
Yeah. They're going to be out of the house. And so I'm just going to suck it up and do the best possible job that I possibly can.
Until they're gone.
Until they're gone.
And then we'll go.
No, we're done.
You're done.
Yeah, 9 and 5. We're good.
How are you not getting any more?
What's that?
Did you get a vasectomy? What'd you
no,
do?
I'm not. I'm probably close to do it. I always tell my wife, it's so selfish because how do you know that my third wife is not going to want children?
Third wife?
Third wife.
Wow. You're couple. Already assuming there's going to be a rebound wife.
Yeah,
it's not going to last.
Rebound wife is not going to work out. But number 3, that's the keeper.
What if you got if you got pregnant now, would you have an abortion? There's no, would you?
I mean, she's 40 years. My wife's 40.
My friend just got inseminated. She's a lesbian.
Yeah.
And she has some disease, or not disease, but some chromosome thing, where there's a 25% chance it'll be retarded. And
I'm
I was like,
sure.
Please tell me you'll abort it.
Well,
if
after
retarded.
The
She's
age
like, yeah, of
35, you get a test. That
She's 40? She looks great.
Oh, yeah. It, test for Down syndrome. They just stick a huge needle.
They can do it in the first trimester now.
Yeah.
So you can just get rid of it.
Oh, I wouldn't. I could. I,
you
I
wouldn't mean, get rid of it?
Oh, no, no. We would if it was a special needs child. Yeah. I couldn't. I couldn't do that to my because
why
traveling?
Enter into that for no? I know everybody loves their special needs kids, but it's like, come on, you
sure.
know it'd be easier on you.
Yeah, I'm a big softy when it comes to seeing anybody with like Down syndrome or just like there's just an old lady Down syndrome. My son plays football at the local park up here
with
and
her. I bet she's
with
awesome.
Yeah, she, no, she comes in. Her she's is like somebody's aunt or something, and she sits on a blanket. And I saw some guy, dad, trying to ask you, would she like some chips? And she's going, yes, a chips. Oh, dude, I want
chips.
And then she said, whoever's taking care of her goes, no, she can't have salt. I'm sorry. And it's like, ah, just let her have the fucking chips. anyway, I feel so bad whenever I see anybody like that. And my heart goes out to the people that they got to take care of them. It's fucking horrible.
So, if you had a regular baby now, you would have it, or you like?
I think we'd probably have it. Yeah,
because you couldn't be like, I can't just get rid of a kid.
Regular, yeah, I think we'd probably have it. We're good at this.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. You're not fucking up.
It's and not like we're not. I mean, it's financially, it's a big pain in the ass, but it's going to be a boy or a girl, and we'll put him in one
How
of those.
How much more
rooms.
Do you have to make, percentage wise?
Well, I have.
To have these two kids.
I'll just name categories of expenses.
Okay.
It's like having your best friends with you all the time and no one's paying for anything.
Okay.
So every meal.
Every meal.
I'm
tripled.
I'm paying for every single meal.
Or quadrupled.
Housing, transportation.
But housing is the same.
I don't know.
You wouldn't have
Would I
house.
Have this place?
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not.
And
yeah, all my friends are like, get a house. I'm like, why? It's so much space to clean.
There is a nice, it's nice out here. I like it out here, but I'd take it around. It was, anyway, so housing, but transportation, if I want to take everybody on, like we're going to lose a vacation, that's four tickets.
Oh, man. That's so expensive.
So travel or even gas or the cars, like we have two cars, gas constantly, food constantly. My wife goes and supermarket.
Oh, yeah, and you're always driving and stuff. I go days sometimes without taking my car.
Oh, shit. We're just driving. I got to take everybody to school every single morning, so then I got to pay for the school where they both have tuition at the school.
That seems so not fun.
It's
that doesn't seem like a positive to me. But
you're over there in a great look at that.
No, she's cute. That's definitely cute. I'll
just
give you that.
A huge image of her. It's not fun.
She has like, giant eyes.
Yeah. And it's fun, man. I have a really good time. Like I said, it's for not for everybody.
But and you get your days off when you go on the road.
Yeah.
You get 3 days of vacation.
Sleep
time.
In and now, you know,
watch internet porn or whatever you want to do or
that's the other thing is porn I feel weird, like there's no porn. I've talked about this. I have a podcast called Minivan Men where we talk about all this shit constantly with Maz Jobrani.
It's all about raising kids.
Yeah.
Minivan men.
Maz Jobrani, Chris Spencer, and me.
Because you all have to have minivan
weekly.
At this point.
Yeah, we don't. But third row.
But that's
very
the kind
helpful.
Of person
Separate
you're
everybody. He's bothering me and all that shit. All right, sit in your own row. Like, separate everybody, put on a DVD, and tell everybody shut the fuck up. And anyway, so we talk about this stuff all the time. But yeah, I mean, it's... It's a huge fucking.
It's a lot of work.
It's
that, like
a
that's
lot
your
of
life.
Work.
When you think about your life, you're like, it's,
like I
was saying, like,
it totally suits me, and I don't know what I would do with my days. Like I'm so productive because I have to be because I got them.
So do you get okay? So let's say you get up in the morning, 7 o'clock, take them to school at 8 or whatever it is.
Gym for an hour.
You do you? So you're already up.
I'm up. Gym for an hour.
That's what Diaz does. He takes his wife to work or something, and then he's like, now I'm awake. Because I can't stay in bed.
Yeah.
I'm up and doing stuff.
Gym for an hour.
Gym for
an hour.
You work out every day?
Not every single day, but I try to go
a
lot.
Cardio?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to. My dad had a major heart attack. My dad has horrible cancer right now. I'm just trying to do. And then
very nice.
Yeah. No, it really is. My dad's in a bad space. And so ever since he got sick, and this is a while ago, I've really been trying to.
Oh, you took it as a wake-up call?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just try to go to the gym as much as I can. I don't know if that
helps.
You have
heart disease in your family?
Yeah. Oh, everybody's having heart attacks. Oh, dude, Italians and Mexicans and the food.
Oh, yeah.
Between the chorizo and the, I mean, we just eat horrible shit constantly.
That's what I said about Patrice. Somebody was like, can you believe it? Such a shock. I'm like,
fat black.
What? He's a fat, black, angry person. That is heart attack.
Patrice, what's your experience been with Patrice?
Never. I haven't dealt with him too much. I know he likes to push buttons and try to like break people down. He's never tried to do that with me. He's always been like high.
Nicest. Oh, really? I sat with him. So the thing about him with him is like if he respects you as a comic,
then it's all fine.
Everything's okay. Yeah. That's the impression I got.
I've only nodded hello to him, and
it's not technically his wife, but his longtime girlfriend,
whatever he calls her,
and his mom. I did that Dennis Leary Comics Come Home thing in Boston, and I sat with him for an hour and a half, and he was the nicest guy. I just feel horrible. Patrice O'Neill has had a stroke, and he can't talk. Is that?
They said he might not be able to talk anymore.
It's fucking horrible. So I feel bad. So I don't want that to happen to me. So yeah, I do. You know, go to the gym and I try to eat as good as I possibly can.
My wife cooks. A while, you're like, oh, I don't have to do anything. I'm in shape. And then all of a sudden, you're like, well,
fat face.
Yeah, it changes now. Yeah, my metabolism slows down.
So I don't know. And,
do you feel chemically different now that you have kids? Like they say, women change. They fully like lactate. That's just their bodies change. But do you feel like different? Now that you have one, have you changed it all?
No, you know what? Again, just about what we were talking about earlier, I feel motivated. I feel
accomplish things for them?
To accomplish things. It's like a nesting type of thing I think that we have when just like, I gotta fucking earn a living for these guys. I'm not going to smoke pot and fucking lay around all day. I mean, how could I do that?
Yeah.
And so...
I don't have anything pushing me like that. No, I saw a Public Storage commercial yesterday, and I was like... Maybe I'll move into Public Storage. I gave it a little bit of thought, and then I was like, I could definitely save some money. And then I realized, like, I won't save any money. I'll just earn less, and I'll spend less. But I'm not going to save any.
Yeah,
I just won't be motivated to go make money.
I'm motivated to go out and I gotta
earn a grilled cheese sandwich for your kid.
Retirement.
Dude. And you have to pay for their college coming up.
Sure.
Oh. God.
It's.
Aren't you frightened at every second?
Not really, no.
Because I guess it just happens. It goes. And everyone's had kids. Even bad parents have kids.
Yeah.
And they raise them and they're fine. Everybody turns out fine.
Look,
for the most part.
It's just something like, why fight it at this point? Like, what am I gaining? Again, at the club, why even have a conversation with any of these fucking scrags?
What do you mean?
In terms of like, just why fight this? You know, why attempt to go out and try to balance this out by my own fucking needs where I was like, oh, I'm still, I'm just the guys who abandon their families and shit like that and go out and put on a girlfriend. It's like, what the fuck are you doing?
We had the last nice night out. It was 2 nights ago. And it was like warm.
Yeah.
But I looked at the weather report for 10 days. It's all going to be, it's never getting up to 70. Lows of like 45 to 55. It's going to be like cold. And I told everybody, and then Matt Egger was like, you should do something with your last night, last like warm night. And I'm like, I am. It's 1:30 in the morning. I'm out of the Comedy Store. What are you going to go for, a fucking hike? like the things that please me now are different. I'm like,
oh,
I'm
sure.
Enjoying hanging out.
We love it when it rains here because we have movie night. Maybe I'll buy one of those Duraflame logs. Put it there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You have a fake fireplace?
Popcorn. We have a real fireplace.
Oh, that's great.
So I'll...
Those are some awesome memories for me of sitting around the fire, just hearing it crackle and just sitting there and watching whatever's on.
Movie.
Yeah.
Just pop in whatever's out.
And they can watch movies now? I guess so.
Yeah, they watch everything.
I'm always so scared.
We just watched Captain America. That was good.
That was horrible.
It was good. For the kids, they
fucking loved
it.
Because their brains aren't developed and they can't understand complexity of character. And how come... Okay, it worked once. Put a gun to a kid's head and he fucking shuts down. Never repeat that move. One's ever going to repeat that move. One kid, Captain America's done.
Really liked how we like the comic book stuff here. Uh-huh. So Thor was good.
Thor, I heard, was good. The first Iron Man was good.
Yeah. Here comes somebody coming in.
Is he a Celtics fan?
Yeah, he can come in. You can open it. He liked the Celtics when the Celtics won. He's a front runner.
Oh, really?
You got to leave in 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah. You want to say hi?
What are we doing?
just... we're talking about Al being a father, being a parent.
I'm a good dad, right?
Oh, okay. You gotta talk into it, though. Okay. No, you're not talking into it.
Okay. I'm a father too.
You're not. Do you like Al as a dad?
Yeah.
All right, don't ask.
I have kids of my own, and then their names Henry and Louisa.
All right, beat it.
Now you gotta go. 15 minutes. All right, we'll be done. We'll be done. Okay. 12.
You tell Mom I'll be ready in 10 minutes. 12.
Don't minutes. Forget about my fatherhood.
He's 9.
So that.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Here's the deal. That would start to piss me off. When comics tell jokes that aren't that funny, like that kid's fine. He's super cute. But that joke alone, it's like, I don't know where you're going with this. It's not that funny.
Oh, him? Oh, when you said when comics tell, when kids.
Yeah, anybody who tells jokes that aren't funny, I just get, I have a super short fuse with that.
You know what? It really is. Do you ever remember that WB frog? You know when they used to have a frog with a top hat? So there was a whole cartoon. You probably can find this on the internet. A whole cartoon where this guy had a construction site. Mm-hmm. And he was at a construction worker, and he opened up a lunchbox, and that frog was inside it.
Yeah.
And he used to, and when the guy was there, he would.
When which the frog, guy was there?
The construction guy who found him.
Yeah.
He would dance and sing, yeah. And he'd go, "Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. Yeah. Hello, my good time." Whatever that song is.
Ragtime gal.
And ragtime gal. And then he go, "This is amazing. I got a dancing frog."
Yeah.
And then he would go to show anybody else. And the frog would just be quiet. It just
wouldn't do anything.
He wouldn't do anything.
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
It's very similar. He is.
So that was showing off for me?
That was showing off for you, and that was nervous on a microphone.
Oh.
And I think he is very.
So you can see that and just be like, oh, if it's like that, then it's kind of nice. It's like, oh, he just doesn't know what he's doing.
He doesn't know what he's doing. He's not a professional. And,
but you get people after shows that make a joke to you, girls especially, like 27 year old
girls. Oh, I hate when people. Whenever you see a stand up comic, just don't even try to be funny or say, don't. Just be yourself. Especially when you're an audience and a stand up comic asks you a question from stage. The straight answer
is what we need. That's what we can deal with. The straight answer, then I can go off from there.
It's the smartest way. That's the only thing to do. When somebody tries to be funny, it just ruins it.
He'll leave you alone. He'll just get the answer.
But the kids, you just saw him trying because he sees me doing this, I'm sure, and it's got
to
be weird.
And he wants to be like you. This is like when cats will kill a bird and put it on your pillow. And you're like, what the fuck was that? You're like, no, they're trying to give you a gift.
He really does. I took him to his first show not too long ago, maybe a year ago, and he sat with Elon Gold
in the back. Nice.
It was a corporate gig. It was at 7 o'clock, so okay. I was supposed to be clean. I went up. I did all my same act, but I didn't swear or anything like that.
Oh.
And Elon comes up to me and he goes, that was the cutest thing I've ever seen. He goes, he thinks you're hilarious.
Wow.
And so he does think I'm funny, and he is funny with his friends. I see him grab his friend around the shoulder and whisper something in his ear, and the friend cracks up.
Yeah.
And he's just,
oh, yeah, there's that, too. I guess for your own age, it's like you can be super funny.
Yeah, he's funny with his buddies.
Yeah.
And he's a really funny guy.
He'll eventually learn a sense of humor from you.
Yeah,
he'll
sure.
He'll have to, being in the house.
I think they're hilarious. They really do say some very funny stuff. My daughter says about that, constantly.
About that.
Yeah. Louisa, you need to brush your teeth. About that. So
at that point, you have to stop and just laugh. Like,
yeah.
All right.
But
one night, you can go to
there
sleep.
It becomes like the WB Frog thing where they have all those moments and you get, they're goofy around your friends. Like, that's it.
Yeah,
but the people he knows.
Like, Daddy, look at this. And you're like, that's not exciting. What you're showing me is not fun.
Oh, but you would pretend when it's your kid.
Yeah.
You're
pretending.
You're pretending and you pretend for their sake. Yeah.
So they'll feel good.
Yeah. Oh, that's great, buddy.
And that doesn't wear on you? Like, look at me diving off the board. You're like, it's not diving. You jumped. It was a small board. It wasn't even the high board.
When it's your kid.
Yeah, I guess.
Something changes. When that kid comes out and you're holding it for the first time, it's everything. All the stuff that you're thinking right now. I never thought I'd be married and have kids.
Right.
And...
Yeah, I'm aware that I changed, so I know that's a possibility in the future. But for right now, it's not anything. But yeah, so go ahead.
No, when you're holding your kid or when your kid's jumping off the diving board, you'd have to be a real big fucking asshole to to like not say, okay, that's good.
Who cares, idiot?
Little Ari.
You're the 30th in line. Yeah. Everyone's doing the same dive.
Yeah.
You think you're special?
Yeah, you're not going to do that.
No, yeah. You couldn't, I guess.
You're going to do a good job, buddy. And so I was looking at these images of
that's your vacation
trip. Yeah, look at that.
Oh, diving off your shoulders.
Yeah, diving off the shoulders.
So is it like, do you get the same things out of it? Like when a dog comes up to you and just like jumps on your lap and licks you?
No.
It's different. No, but is it similar?
Dude, he plays football.
Yeah.
He scored 5 touchdowns in this last game. Scored all of his team's points.
Yeah. Is that Pop Warner football?
No, he's flag at the local park. It's all against all Mexicans.
And he scored 5, and you're like, awesome.
Dude, it's the best feeling.
You know what I heard on the radio recently? There's also another thing. I'm older. I listen to NPR now.
Sure.
Instead of like, when did I start listening to this?
You want the information.
It's like, it's interesting. It's more interesting than the same Foo Fighters song 80 times. But they said if you teach your kid, if you say when they do a good job, they get the math problems right or whatever, you're like, awesome, that was great, and smile, and be like, good job. You are unintentionally saying the only reason we love you is because you're good at things. And if you struggle, then we're not going to love you. So if they happen to enter this place where they struggle, instead of tackling it head on, like struggling is part of succeeding. Instead, they kind of shut down, like, I'm not even going to go for it.
We constantly say, as long as you try,
yeah, that's
we don't
good.
Care. As long as you make effort.
But you still note it. Like, you're like, he scored 5 touchdowns. Like, yeah, him.
Yeah. But no, as long as you try, he fails. They lose. This team he's on loses games all the time.
Really?
Yeah. They're probably going to go on Saturday and get their ass kicked because they're playing this team, the Vipers. Very, very good.
Oh, he should come down and play on the Comedy Store softball team. He can help us lose.
But he doesn't. He doesn't react. Some of the kids on his soccer team that he plays on cry after the games if they lose. He walks off and goes, "What will we get for snack?" You know, he doesn't give a shit. So no, he's a great guy. But it's like when you have your kids around, he doesn't know you.
Yeah.
And so Kevin Christie, he knows very well. And
he
knows
seems totally calm around me. He wasn't scared at all.
He just needs to be around comics and adults. So anyway, he's cool most of the time.
Okay, I have a couple more questions.
Let's just round them up.
Have you ever had a moment where you love one kid more than another?
Yeah. I mean, I have a boy and a girl. Yeah. And the boy, we watch football.
Yeah.
Together and they'd say, hey, but I mean, the girls are like, you love them both for equally. You can't really. I mean,
I know overall, but there must be moments, right? Where like, because if you're super proud of your son, let's say at one point, let's say you're super proud of your daughter, for one moment, whatever it is, she does something, you're like, I'm so proud. And you look at your son and you're like, oh, well, you didn't just do the same thing that makes me proud.
No, they're both very similar in that they're both like, both making us proud at all times. So you're both telling them constantly, you're making me really proud right now. And
but
like
I'm
that.
Sure one's in a mood for like a week straight.
Yeah, but still, I mean, you know, it's just a mood. You know, it's passing.
Or
so
period,
that's not really,
twos. Okay.
I told my son when my daughter was being born, I go, just no matter, you need to know.
Yeah.
No matter what happens, I'm always going to love you a little bit more. I think he forgot that. But, he was 3, just so he knew. He knew.
He knows that it's okay.
Yeah.
It's like that. This is your ever. You never thought about running away.
Nah.
No.
No, you
like
would
you
chicken shit move. And...
Yeah. And okay, so this is the last one then. Explain that moment of like fulfillment of like, I had Mr. Butler was my parents' friends, the Butlers.
Yeah.
And they had a kid like way later. So everyone's the same age. I'm sure you're friends with your kid's friends' parents.
Yeah, there's some people like we like more than others, yeah.
Yeah. And so you have a bunch of these kids. Like, so you're 9 and 5. So you probably have friends that have kids that are 9 and 5.
Yeah.
And then they had a kid 8 or 9 years later. Like it was 2 years apart, 2 years apart. And then so all the parents are like, oh, it's so cute, whatever. Actually, it has nothing to do with the story. Anyway, one day, this little kid, Renan, was just leaning. Like he was like 3. And his dad was holding him up so he could stand up on his hands. And, you know, he was like surfing on his dad's hands pretty much. And then he got tired and he just kind of put his head down, his shoulder down on his father's shoulder. It was at the Shabbos table. It was at the Sabbath table and stuff. And we're all sitting there and he goes, this is when it's worth it. Like these moments make it like worth it.
Yeah.
Do you get moments like that where you're like,
dude,
those things jumping off your shoulders in the pool? And
yeah,
like,
I'm telling
this is...
you, moments at the beach where someone's just happily digging a sandcastle, you know, and just having a great time, and you're holding hands. I took my son to that 49er game where we beat the Broncos, and he was there with Buccaneers. Excuse me. We beat the Buccaneers 48-3, and he was sitting with my dad, and it was like, there's a lot of great moments. Yeah, and this
is that your version of like success? I looked at my parents once, and I'm like, they had whatever life they had so that they can spend time with their grandkids, and that makes them happy, and it's like that's all they want to do.
Whatever it is that makes you happy. I mean, I am very happy doing this. We went to Hawaii to Costco travel. Can't say anything about it. But
what is Costco
Hawaii.
Travel?
Costco, if you want to go on vacation, you go to Costco. They have a website.
Really?
And you get the best deal. I shopped.
Really?
Yeah, $3,000 less than any place
else. For what, like hotels and...
Hotel, the whole package.
Tours and...
Yeah, so we go Costco, travel, we go to Hawaii, and me and my wife got a couple drinks.
Yeah.
We're not going anywhere. Yeah. They're on the water slide. They made a friend. Dad, I made a friend. You know, and then
that's another thing I can't imagine. Like, you just made a friend?
Yeah.
If you spent all day with him, you're going to want... If he was in your neighborhood, he'd be like, hey, can he come over to play tomorrow? Yeah. I'd be like, what? How do you make friends?
So we just had... This is us in Miami. We have a great time doing that. And it's, again, people get cranky and tired, but we have a blast. And me and my wife have a couple pops. And then you take a nap by the pool. I mean,
and
that's...
And it's like, oh, that's totally cool. It's totally a
living.
Fun time.
That's the best time ever.
Yeah.
Everybody looks at me like, thanks for taking us on vacation. You're totally appreciative. You
and
know,
you're like, no, I wanted to also.
Yeah, that's great.
So it's not that TV 80s sitcom version of it, like Homer Simpson, like, ah, these kids, I got to take them on the vacation. You're like, no, let's all have fun.
Oh, it's great. I mean, getting there is hard, and people get, you know, everybody's just, somebody's in a bad mood. Yeah. They're probably tired, man. They're five. Yeah. You know, it's like,
they don't even know.
They don't
like,
know
they can't
how
even
to
tell,
express
like, it's
themselves.
I haven't had sleep.
Yeah.
I'm just so mad at you.
So also, but I see some kids like on this particular vacation.
Yeah.
My son comes up and he goes, you know, I have two great kids that are totally normal. And my son comes up and he goes, this kid, some little kid in a life preserver jacket or whatever, runs by us on the, and he goes, hey, and he's cutting. He was autistic. And my son, he goes, that kid's pistachio. And I go, what's pistachio? That? And he goes, little nut.
That's good.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Where was that line 5 minutes ago? So, when you were on the clock.
So he and I go down and I see this kid who's clearly autistic on this water slide. His mom has had a big glass of wine. She needs a little bit of break. And everybody's looking at her because this kid is cutting and cutting. And everybody realized he was sort of autistic. And then just let him pass at this big long water slide. I think, think about somebody who's got to deal with that shit, and I have these two regular kids.
It's like way easier.
Yeah. Yeah, we're in a good spot. Wow. It'd be very interesting to see.
For the longest time, I knew I would be a good dad, but then it's like, I don't want to do that.
If
I want to take care of things.
If you meet the right chick that you love like selflessly, and then she wants that, you give it to her.
But it seems like I would be buried under the responsibility.
It's not that fucking hard. I mean, it's hard, but it's and you got to try it, but it's not that hard.
I wish I could just try it for, like, a month. But you can't try kids for a month.
Yeah, no. Because they're not yours. You would never know how you would really react. This is good, though. It's good for you to... It clears things up a little bit.
Yeah, it does. It does. It doesn't seem like it'd be that much effort. It would be a lot, but not like... I hyperventilate now when I hear my friends got pregnant.
Dude,
like,
you love them so much that when it's your kid, then you're ready to do it and you're excited. I mean, you're going to be maybe 42, 43, and you're going
to
do
Jimmy Dore said that recently. I heard him say that to somebody where he was like, never wanted them. Suddenly now I want a kid.
Yep.
I never wanted one before. Now it's just I'm aware that I change. I get that. But
taste change. And then you're going to meet that woman.
That's
that
probably why I'm not having a vasectomy. But if I just knock up some random girl and she has it, that would be the opposite extreme.
Horrible.
I could just adopt. Whatever.
Yeah. All right.
All right. So you're going. What? You're on Twitter?
Twitter.
Al Madrigal.
Al Madrigal. Easy to find.
Okay.
And
your website?
Same. MADRIGAL.
And you tour all the time.
Tour.
You're one of the best comics in the country.
Oh, yeah.
People
very
ask
nice.
Me now. No, I'm not, it's not even like a shooting smoke up your ass, whatever the line is. But it's like people ask me like, who are the best comics? And I'm like, Al Madrigal. He's turned himself into one with hard work.
Oh, it's just the stories, you know, because that's what I do. I mostly tell stories. But they're hard to come by, those fucking stories. Yeah. And,
do you have a virginity story? I think that's my next storyteller show.
Virginity?
Yeah. Did you lose your virginity in any weird way?
Not in a weird way. Probably just the most boring run of the mill. Yeah.
Girlfriend for 3 months and I had sex with her. Yeah.
And then that Minivan Men podcast. If anybody's a dad out there, it really helps. Or if you have kids.
And you just shoot the shit about.
Yes, me, Maz, and Chris talking about different subjects and stuff.
Minivan Men on iTunes?
Yeah.
Or wherever.
All right.
Rad. Thanks, man.
Cool.
I appreciate it.
All right. Never slap me again.
I won't. I never will. I haven't. Mama told me when I was young, sit beside me, my only son. Well, that was it. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank number 30, Fatherhood in the Books. Finito. Thank you, Al Madrigal, for talking to me and opening up your home to me. I guess. I don't know why people say that. Thank you for opening up your home to me. As if it's that nice. You just really invited someone to come over. But yeah, it was cool. I don't know how he does it so easily. It was really, I was hyperventilating thinking about the possibility of becoming a father, and there he was just taking it supernaturally. I mean, it you can just see it. It makes him happy to be around that family. But man, that scares me. It still scares me. It wouldn't be as bad as I think, I guess, but anyway, thank you guys very much for tuning in. Please make sure to subscribe on iTunes if you haven't already. As always, I try to put these out once a week on Mondays. So far, I've been doing it. So congratulations to everybody for the degenerate finally following through on something every Monday. So that's it, everybody. Thank you very much for tuning in. No other announcements. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, number 30. Fatherhood, over and out.